Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Walaikum salam. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm great. However, you look confused.
Yeah, how can you tell? I have a lot of questions on my mind these days.
So go ahead and start. Hopefully, I can clear up some of your confusions.
All right, here goes. So this discussion on knowledge of the unseen is quite confusing. I've heard that the Quran contains verses which both confirm and deny this knowledge to human beings. However, do we have anything in the Quran which clearly tells us that the past prophets, specifically Prophet Muhammad and his successors, or even non-prophets, had access to the unseen realm of knowledge?
Actually, yes, we do. There are a few verses which confirm that Allah has provided the Prophet Muhammad with some knowledge from the unseen realm. Let me share the verse with you, which shows Allah telling the Prophet about the events which led up to the birth of Prophet Isa, an event which took place over 600 years before the Prophet Muhammad was born. So in chapter number 3, Surah Al Imran, verse 44, Allah says, "These accounts are from the unseen, which we reveal to you, O Muhammad. And you were not with them when they were casting lots to see which of them would take charge of Maryam's care. Nor were you with them when they, the Bani Israel scholars, were contending in order to gain honor of caring for her." So this is one verse which comes to mind, but actually, come to think about it, Allah gives us even a clearer verse and shows us that He has taught the Prophet Muhammad the Quran, and that this is a book which the Prophet did not know, nor was he capable of ever knowing it independently without Allah revealing it to him. And so when we look in the Quran in verse number 113, that Surah Nisa, that's chapter number 4, if you want to make a reference of it, Allah says that Allah has sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book and the wisdom, and He taught you what you did not know and could never ever know, and great is Allah's grace upon you.
Okay, so this helps, and the subject is now beginning to make a little bit more sense. However, what about other prophets? Are they also mentioned in the Quran as having been given knowledge of the unseen?
Actually, good question. There are many examples, around 16 in total in the Quran. I'll email you the verses so you can review them in your spare time. But for the record, let me say that at least 11 prophets mentioned in the Quran have been recipients of knowledge of the unseen. Prophets such as Adam, as Nuh, Ibrahim, Lut, Ya'qub, Yusuf, Saleh, Daoud, Suleiman, Isa, and obviously the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and upon all of these great prophets.
That's actually really interesting. I'll have to review all of the verses and then draw my own conclusions after discussing them with you. In regards to this topic of knowledge of the unseen, to me, it makes sense that Allah would give His prophets such access to this level of knowledge because they're sent by Him to convey a message and propagate the teachings. And sometimes they may need to give their followers something extra to get them to fully commit themselves to the faith. But what about others? We claim that the successors of Prophet Muhammad, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, have access to this knowledge too, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We believe that the Imams are also recipients to such knowledge.
Well, do we have anything in the Quran which can convince me? I mean, if it is as you say it is, then surely Allah speaks about this in the Quran, right?
Of course. So I'm sure you know this, but it's worth repeating that the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, they're not mentioned by name in the Quran, and there is a wisdom for why Allah did this. But with that said, there are some verses which come to my mind in which Allah speaks about non-messengers and them having access to knowledge of the unseen. And as an example, we see that an important woman, namely Maryam, the mother of Prophet Isa, peace be upon them, that she has been given such knowledge. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there are about six verses in the Quran about non-prophets gaining access to such knowledge by the permission of Allah, of course. Let me just give you one of these verses that we can review today. So in chapter number 3, Surah Al Imran, verses number 45 and 46, Allah says the following to really teaching us about the level of Maryam and her access to knowledge of the unseen. He says that, "Recall when the angels said, 'O Maryam, Allah gives you the good news of a word from Him, whose name is Masih, Isa, the son of Maryam, distinguished in the world and the hereafter, and one of those brought near to Allah. He will speak to the people from the cradle and in adulthood, and he will be one of the righteous ones.'" So as you can see, in this verse, Allah commanded His angels, And keep a note here that Allah used the plural of this word. He didn't say angel, he said his angels. So that means that there was more than one angel speaking to this non-prophet and giving her knowledge from the unseen realm. In this case, again, it was Maryam, the mother of Prophet Isa. And the angels were informing her of some amazing facts.
That's amazing. I've read this verse many times before, but never really thought about its relationship to knowledge of the unseen. Sorry to interrupt. Please go ahead and continue your explanation.
No problem. No need to apologize. So let me break this verse down and show you the multiple levels of knowledge of the unseen realm which this great woman was given. So the first thing that we see is that she was told that she would become pregnant by a miracle from Allah, as we know that she was not married. The second thing with which these angels are sharing with her is that shortly thereafter, that she would give birth to a healthy boy. From there, the angels tell us that she was actually told the name to use for this child of hers, and was told that his title would be Masih, meaning the anointed one, and his proper name would be Isa, and obviously the son of Maryam. Another thing which these angels shared with this non-prophet was that she was told that her son would be a distinguished personality, both in this world, he had a great status, and also in the hereafter, in the world to come. The angels also told her that Isa, her son, would be one in close spiritual proximity to Allah. The angels went on to tell her in this, you know, this very beautiful verse that unlike normal children who, you know, they don't normally speak until they reach around the age of two, but Maryam was told that her son would be able to speak from the cradle. Right? And that in itself is a miracle to speak at that young age. And that not only would he speak from the cradle, but he would be a propagator of Allah's teachings. And last but not least, one of the points that we can take from these two verses that again show us the level of knowledge that even non-prophets are given, is that Maryam was given the great news that her illustrious son would be considered as being amongst the righteous people. So with all of that said, you know, if Allah can confer this upon a woman who's not even a leader for humanity, then what about the successors of the Prophet Muhammad? Men like Imam Ali, Imam As-Sadiq, and especially our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah, our living and awaited Imam. These are people whom Allah has appointed to safeguard and promote the teachings of Islam. Surely they got to be greater in rank than Maryam. And if she can be given such knowledge, then why not the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt? And really, as an extension, why not even somebody like Fatima Zahra? Why can't she be given that great level of knowledge as well?
Wow, that's an amazing verse. I never really thought of the verse in this way. You've done a brilliant job in its analysis.
No problem. You know, really, the more that we read the Quran and the more that we think about the verses, the more that we actually are able to see that the core teachings and the beliefs of our Jafri school are firmly rooted in this beautiful book. They're not made up by our scholars. And, you know, and if all of our theological topics, such as intercession, what we call shafa'at, or when we seek an intermediary with Allah, what we call tawassul, or even the topic of the infallibility of the prophets and the imams, ismat, if all of these and more of them, if we were to review them, we'd actually see that they're all deeply rooted in the Quranic teachings.
I just realized that I need to go and get some things done before the end of the day. But how about we meet up again tomorrow?
Sure, same time, same place. We'll see you then.
Indeed. See you tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah.